Taking the ride on the Freedom Train, your community resource podcast series. I am Joseph Ward, and as always, riding with me, Mr. Patrick Irvin, Mr. Jamie Bouchon. The Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information about PAX Inc., make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. And that way you can find out all you need to know about PAX Inc. And PAX Inc. has a new code of conduct 2017 calendar that will be available real soon. It's helping to display the codes of conduct that PAX Inc. created for Black America. So visit www.paxinc.org to find out more about the codes of conduct calendar. While you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com to listen to the playbacks of your favorite shows and to stay up on us and see what we got going on. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _FreedomTrain. And last but not least, subscribe to the Freedom Train on Google Play and iTunes, and that way you get episodes of this show come straight to your phone, bam, right in your hand, and everything is everything. Gentlemen, Pat, Jamie, what's going down?
What's happening, fellas? How y'all feeling tonight?
Good.
We here, man. We here. It's Tuesday. We're going down. Tuesday roll.
What's going on on a Tuesday?
Hey, before we get into our topics, Jamie, I know you've seen it, Jamie. Pat, you ain't really into football like Jamie, but Jamie,
what's happening, man?
The buddy from Clemson.
What's happening?
I know you saw the video of him busting that special split.
Oh yeah, that was hilarious.
But ain't that the same dude who grabbed the other dude nuts from behind in the game?
Honestly, I didn't even try to link those two because I wanted to forget this big 300-pound defensive lineman fondling some dude's genitalia, but that could be the case.
Yes.
I can't confirm nor deny that, but that split. I don't even want to talk. Why would you bring that up? Seriously?
No, I'm sorry, man. I was scrolling, man. I scrolled by, then the title above that is suspect or not. I'm like, hey, man. Hey.
Nah, that's super, super sexy right there, man.
I would have let the split go if you wouldn't have grabbed the dude nuts from behind last week. So.
Yeah, from behind. That's what made it.
Right. Bad, you got to put something. Hey, man. I crowd towards him. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I crowd. No. I crowd don't like that. Anyway, what we got on the table today, gentlemen? What we talking about, Pat?
We are talking about double standards. Double standards. Yeah.
All right. This should be interesting.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Kick it off.
So. And we want people to be clear. When we're talking about double standards, we're talking about double standards in the way that violence is perceived and regulated, handled, patrolled, all whatever words you want to use. The way the justice system handles certain members of the society differently when it comes to violent actions. And we could start with. I mean, we have the Oklahoma football player, the situation with him. The white girl pushed him and hit him. He hit her back harder. Of course, he suffered more of the consequence. There's a video floating around of a homosexual white man beating up a black woman. And then, you know, we got the instances where the white teens on the football team raped a mentally challenged black guy.
black kid and got away with it, while the four black teens who kidnapped the white kid, they getting the book thrown at them. I think I want to start there. Let's start there with that one about the two cases of the two different teens. Let's start with that, because the reason why I want to start with that is the people are silent about what happened with the white kids, but asking that this kid get the book thrown at him. I'm like, well, how y'all jump there and you silent on this one? Like, how does that happen?
Go ahead, Pat.
Go ahead. You on the roll. I can feel it.
No, this guy. Now, what happened is when something happens in, so you got the black community, you got the white community. When crimes happen that, you know, are committed by white offenders, that's not going to make headline news. That'll be kind of swept under the table, and whatever happens, happens. But when those black teens did that, they put it everywhere. I mean, those four faces were all on the media outlets. And what they tried to do is associate those guys they associated them with Black Lives Matter. They associated them with the mindset of black. Like, they tried to make those four people just an overall generalization of what the black community is. And it's just like they don't do that with white society. And to me, that, like, I don't think a lot of people understand that. And that was the more offensive part to me. It's like, yo, these four kids are idiots. They're idiots. But that doesn't represent the vast majority of black people out here doing their thing, being positive, X, Y, and Z. And I hate when the media try to make it seem like that. And anytime a black person does something from now on, they're just going to say black. They're Black Lives Matter supporters. And I know the media's agenda is trying to make that seem like it's some type of terrorist group when it's actually just a hashtag or a slogan, because you can tell me where the office is to Black Lives Matter, who's the definite leader, X, Y, and Z. So I don't, like, I just hate that narrative that anytime when the offender's black, you know, they just try to place that image over everything. Like, this is black males and black teens are out here doing this. And it's just like, you ain't accounting for all the other teens who are out here doing something positive, X, Y, and Z. So I thought that narrative was kind of fucked up.
Yeah. Now, you know what's strange, though? That has been happening for a long time. Like, the more and more I look at history, like, certain organizations, powerful organizations, and the organizations that membership is growing, anything bad happens, it'll be attributed to the organization, and you can always get some kind of fool to do something and scream whatever. So, they always been doing that, using the propaganda, the media. That's why we keep talking about strengthen our media.
But even with the propaganda, people have to understand what propaganda is, in order for you to understand that, you've got to do a little research behind what the headlines say and whatnot. And a lot of people won't put enough time in to actually research that. And to me, if you watch news, majority of it is propaganda. Corporations own these news outlets. They're just trying to make you think in a certain way. So if you don't understand the propaganda of these four teenagers being put on every news channel and associating that with especially with all the race tension that's going on in America right now, it's nothing but propaganda. Don't buy into it. Don't try to make it seem like these kids are even more evil than the guy who raped somebody with the clothes hanger. Last time I checked, they didn't rape the victim in this case, but the other guy, he put a clothes hanger and raped the gentleman with it. And I think he's getting probation or something like that. That's awful. But
yeah, I mean, it's fucked up.
Fuck it.
Well, I just wanted to give some background, so in case people weren't aware, in the one instance, we have the four black teenagers, well, whatever you want to call them, three of them were 18, one of them was 24, two women and two men, and they kidnapped and beat this white man for a couple hours. And that video, sections of it was live streamed to Facebook. You know, they made him drink out of toilet and a couple other things. And the interesting part is, even though they said that they don't believe that it was racially motivated, they're still charging them with hate crimes.
Right.
Now, on the other end, you had the white football player who abused a black disabled kid, beat on him, screamed racial slurs at him, shoved a coat hanger in his butt and kicked it several times while it was in his butt to go deeper, so on and so forth. And he has been entered into a plea to get probation, no time in jail whatsoever. So, and in addition to that, he's not being charged with a hate crime at all.
Right.
So, you know, in these two instances, you get to see the differences between the way the courts will handle black kids and the way the courts will handle white kids. And we've seen this time and time again, even when we look at, you know, the white boy that the judge didn't want to send him to jail for rape because it would ruin his future. And, you know, we go down the line, and you know that the whole he's too rich to go to jail and all these other things that we've seen coming out of the judicial system where they've been letting, you know, white people make these quote-unquote child mistakes, these kid mistakes, these youthful errors.
Right.
And they chalk them up as youthful errors and let them get off. But when black kids do the same thing, you know,
they're
they
adults.
Get the book thrown at them. And beyond that, even deeper, our own community, which won't condemn the actions of a lot of these white people, but will condemn the actions of their own community members. You know, like, just double standards all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, it's I mean, there is no real justice for black people in this country. Like, you might get just a few instances where people get settlements or this may happen or that may happen. But for the most part, man, I mean, it's just we have to realize the situation that we're in, and white people are really trying to wipe us out. We need to operate as so, because I don't think a lot of us really get it. When you're talking about, you having conversation with certain people, and they're condemning the black kids more than the white kids, or they're excusing the white kids' actions because of things the black kids did. And it's like, I mean, we at war, man. I mean, white people have declared war on us, so we got to do something different. Like, we got to change the way we exist. I mean, we know these double standards exist, but we have to do something different on our end. But at the same time, it's still fucked up that these double standards exist, because, like Whoopi Goldberg, I think she called them monsters or something like that, and all these other things. And I'm not sure what she personally said about the white kids, but I know, like, nobody's really talk about these white kids. And it's not, like you said, they got that. If you're rich and you white, you get away with damn near anything. Like even the white women catching it, you know. Well, they've always been catching it, but they catching it too. But it's like, we getting it worse, and it ain't no comparison. We getting it worse, and it's like white men can do what the hell they want to and get away with it. Especially if you're the right type of white boy. If you're the right type of, yeah. See, Dylan Roof wasn't the right type of white boy. He ain't no real white boy. If you're a real white boy, you can get away with it.
But even to that, like, they tried to give Dylan Roof an out. They were going to give him the insanity thing. But because, like Jamie said before the show started, he wanted to be a martyr, he kind of threw all that away. You know, like, he wants to be murdered for his cause. He wants to be looked at as a bastion of whatever, whatever. Like, he wants to be remembered. And to anybody that would dispute the fact that there are double standards in the justice system, I mean, the data is all around you. It's everywhere. We'll take, like, Maryland, for instance. 30% of Maryland's population is black, but 72% of Maryland's prison population is black. That's a huge disparity. You know, you go down the line with states rank having anywhere from 5 to 10 times the amount of black people in prison as white people are the likelihood of black people being in prison and white people. You know, you go down the line where you look at states like Oklahoma, where one in 15 black males 18 or older is in prison. That's crazy to think that one in 15 people in your community is in prison. And that's not has been through the justice system. That is in prison currently. If you look at the amount of people that have been through the justice system, the number gets even more ridiculous. Like, it just gets stupidly ridiculous. And in all of these states, there is a larger black larger white population than the black population. And yeah, you can chalk some of this up to crime. You can chalk some of this up to low income poverty. You can chalk some of this up to culture, whatever you want to chalk it up to. But at the end of the day, none of those things encapsulate the entire disparity of the problem. Like, you, at some point, you have to come to the conclusion that racism and a double standard is at play here.
The devil's advocate to that, the rationale behind that, what I've seen a lot of people in the dominant society will sit there and say, well, they'll make that argument that, you know, these black teens, these black teens are more prone to violence. They're super predators, if you will. You know, they try to make that argument as if something's inherently dangerous about these kids, that we have to try them as adults. We have to lock them up. These kids are dangerous, and we're doing the right thing. That double standard exists as well, as if, but they use that narrative to justify the disparity in all those statistics, not even just in the criminal justice system, when it comes to health care, any institution in America. You look at the statistics, you're going to find some type of disparity. So they use that as, you know, this is those black teens. Hey, you know, they're just prone to violence, which isn't true. But that's the only way the people in that society can actually justify all these disparities in the criminal justice system. So I was born to just carjack people and rape. Like, rape, black men are like the poster child for rape for some reason. I don't get that either.
Which is crazy because I'm not even going to get into that.
No, I just thought I'd throw that in there, but it's true. That's one of those double standards where it's just like, wait, how did we become the face of rape? You know, like, again, we talked about that Nate Parker whole situation. He became the face of rape, but, you know, the feminists didn't even attack the Stanford swimmer. That wasn't even a big deal. That guy should have been the face of rape. That's the real rape culture.
Man,
but that's the double standard as well.
White women, certain caliber of white men, white women will go after to try to tear down. Or they'll wait years after them, like, and then condemn the man, but say nothing and remain quiet while the trial is going on, or even a couple years after. I mean, it's so many things that white men have done in the past 6 months that white feminists should have been dragging white men for, but it ain't gonna happen because they stick to their code. They race first, and like, that's a part of the double standard that black people don't understand. It's like, white people are going to get the benefit of the doubt when white people are the ones who can give them the benefit of the doubt. So it's always going to be that double negative there for black people. Either way, you fucked. So how do we protect ourselves from this? How do we do things better? Like for example, the situation with the football player in Oklahoma. Oh, white feminists coming after him. The black football player. What's his name?
Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon, okay. White feminists coming after him. Matter of fact, I was listening to ESPN Radio last week, and I think it was Sarah Spain. You know, ESPN got them two or three girls on the trifecta show, and they super feminist, crazy people. But doing the Oklahoma game last Monday or Monday, whenever Oklahoma played their bowl game, Brent Musburger was talking about he was wishing the young man well in his future endeavors. And so the girl from ESPN got mad because Brent Musburger, and all feminist Twitter, they said Twitter blew up because he wished the man well in his future endeavors 2 years after this, 2 years after the incident. and everybody got mad. And there, the lady on ESPN is calling for Brent Musburger to be fired because he wished the young man well. Now, if you go back and look at the video, they both were in the wrong. Like, he should, I don't know what they were arguing about, but he should have just left that alone. But the white girl pushed him and slapped him. People just forget about that. Now, of course, we don't like that he put his hands on her, but hey, we don't like that she put her hands on him either. And people are going to say, well, he's stronger than her. Well, that's more reason for her ass to keep her hands to herself. But my question, my double standard to this is, why aren't women expected to control their emotions and keep their damn hands to themselves? Why is that so hard? Like, why is that not a concept? It's not okay for men to hit women, and it's definitely not okay for women to hit men. But why isn't that being taught more? Is it like, I mean, because it's almost as if they try to play that we're a weaker role. But you mean you're weaker mentally as well? Because you mean tell me you're not smart enough to know that you shouldn't put your hands on somebody who might can beat you down?
I mean, I personally think that has a lot to do with how we look at women. I mean, for all intents and purposes, culturally speaking, we're raised to look at women as emotional creatures. We're raised to look at them as weaker or less intelligent or all of these other things. You know, and you know, you go back not too long ago, 100 years ago, or less even, in some cultures, some areas, women were basically seen as children that a man could have sex with. I mean, when she got in trouble, she got spanked the same as the kids did.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is still carried on culturally in our society, where we run into problems is with these double standards, where we say we don't want to view our women that way anymore. We want to view them as adults. We want to view them as capable, intelligent people, which they are, and they should be viewed that way. But then you run into instances like this, where if she were a man, everybody would have been like, well, he was justified in knocking her ass out. But because she's a woman, we kind of revert back to that old narrative of her being weaker, her being emotional, her being all of these things that we're supposed to be trying to get away from. So it's kind of one of those things where, you know, like, you can't have it both ways. Like, either you want to be a mature adult that understands that if you put your hands on somebody, they're going to knock you the fuck out, or you want to be a child that doesn't understand that concept and is allowed to put your hands on people. But you know what I'm saying? You got to take everything that comes with that. Me as a man, I know, regardless of what some big-ass, muscle-bound bodybuilder do, there's a pretty good chance that's a problem I don't want. And I got to calculate that into my head if I run into an altercation with him. And so it's the same scenario. I'm not a big dude. Most of the dudes I bump into are bigger than me. And I'm constantly, you know, every time I get into a situation where it might get physical, I got to calculate, do I really want a problem with this big-ass motherfucker? Like, is that really what I want right now? In some cases, you say I do. In other cases, you say I don't. But you still have to make that calculation. And if he turns around and knocks you the fuck out, you can't turn around and say, well, you was bigger than me. That's not fair.
Right. I mean, that's my whole thing. That's my whole thing. I mean, like, how does that happen? I mean, it's almost like it's okay to lose control and just don't have control and don't have rational thought and just put my hands on somebody who probably can beat me. It's a good chance. But also, I just thought about something else, though. Remember the Facebook video where that girl was beating the mess out of that man, and people, it was a joke. It became a joke.
Yeah, she was stomping them and dragging them through the house and shit, yeah.
And so, why aren't we looking at her the same way we're looking at the football player? Why aren't we looking at Hope Solo the same way we're looking at these black men? Why aren't we looking at
Ronda Rousey?
Exactly.
Her book about beating her boyfriend up.
Exactly.
Oh, what was the basketball girl?
Brittany Griner. She beat her girlfriend up.
But it, it's not looked at that. You go back to that. Like, it's funny because we keep trying to move forward, but at the same time, we keep trying to stay where we were. And it's just, it's not meshing together well. Like, I'm not going to condone the brother's reaction. You should never put your hands on anybody unless it's warranted. So in that, I got to say, I don't condone his actions, but I don't condone hers either.
Right.
You know, like, and then you look at, okay, well, I don't know what happened, whether they were arguing or not. I got beef with him for following her and shouldn't have done
right.
that.
Right.
You never look for altercation. That being said, dude was, you know, he's a teenager. He's a young kid. He's dumb. Same mistake. You know, you just let a white boy get off, potential off, for kicking a clothes hanging to a disabled kid's asshole. So
was a teenager.
If he gets a pass for doing that, and you want to say he's young, then this dude over here who checked, you know, he punched her after she pushed him and slapped him, you know, but he
right.
walked in looking for an altercation, but he's still young. He made a young, dumb mistake.
Young person
she
mistake.
Made a young, dumb mistake, too, by thinking that he wouldn't pop her ass. I bet she won't make that mistake again.
Nah, she won't.
And because it was a guy here on the local news, he did a little whole rant. Oh, I guess there's no more, you know, trying to, you know, no more respect for women, this, that, and the other. But not only to that point, if you look at the whole, because I read the article and, you know, words were exchanged with Nixon and another gentleman, and some racial slurs were used, then she went, pushed, and hit him. Everybody omits that part of the story. Like, that
right.
part don't matter.
Right, right.
Yeah, so, but in this situation, she was the aggressor. Now, was his response is what everybody wanted it to be? You know, was it all gentleman-like? Well, everybody ain't a gentleman, all right? If you put your hands on somebody's child, some people going to hit you back. You like Pat said, you got to take that into account before you put your hands on somebody. The fact of the matter is, she shouldn't have put his – I'm not saying he, like, Mixon is justified in any means, but she had no business touching that man, and neither one of them should have touched each other. But you can't sit here and tell half the story and just, again, change the narrative and paint this guy as the aggressive, the big bad gorilla who smacked the poor innocent drunk girl who was
right.
just trying to, you know, get
right.
something off his lip with her fist. That was – tell the whole story. Because when you tell the whole story, it's like, well, dang, well, maybe she should have not done that. Maybe he could have, you know, reacted a little different, but both of them were wrong. But he ended up
right.
paying a bigger price.
And that's the part that I always hate about these situations. Like, not all the – well, in these certain situations, like these specific situations that we're talking about, the guy always ends up paying the price. Now, overall, if we're talking about violence overall, of course the guy don't end up paying the price in that sense. But we're talking about these situations right here that we're seeing more of these, and it's like the message isn't getting there. Like, I don't know how the message. I don't know what people are teaching their daughters. But it's even reinforced in TV. Like somebody like. A girl find out her boyfriend cheating and she get mad and she slap him. That's not okay. So you mean tell me if I find out my girlfriend is cheating on me and I get mad and I slap her, is that okay? Of course that's not
nah,
okay. But so why is it okay on the other end? But why is it okay on the other end? You know, it's like, well, cause I had this girl try to explain it to me one time. She was like, well, a woman hitting a man is like the same thing as like a child hitting you. And I'm like, no, what the hell it ain't.
Nah, that's some big.
I'm like, man, look here, man. Some of these girls knock you out.
Yeah.
But even if that, I ain't finna sit there. I'm not. I'm me personally. I don't like getting hit. So I ain't finna sit there and let nobody hit me. But
any grown woman that get a full head of steam going can do some damage to a man. Now, can
right.
she do as much damage as another man can? Probably not. But that don't mean that she can't clean your clock.
Nah. That double standard when it comes to domestic violence. And, like, I've in the past been in situations where, you know, I automatically thought, like, oh, man, you know, I ain't do nothing, but just because, you know, authorities arrive, something like that, I'm automatically, because I'm the dude, maybe I was, you know, supposed to just eat those punches or just, you know, do stuff like that. I've been in situations and seen those type of things where it's like, yo, man, we dudes, these girls out here, this, that, and other, we in trouble. And it's like, yo, we didn't even do anything. But we automatically got a, you know, got that perception of, well, you're a guy, you're supposed to handle the situation or de-escalate it. When it had nothing to do with us, it's some drunk people arguing and hitting our car, and here I am thinking like, oh, damn, they going to think we out here, you know, beating up on some females or something when they drunk and arguing and got arrested for a DUI. But I don't even know why I was scared.
I mean, we do know, because you know the ramifications of the situation overall. You could end up going down for something you ain't got nothing to do with.
So I that double standard, especially in the black community, and that goes back to, you know, us learning how to, you know, be in relationships and getting that maturity. You don't put your hands on one another. If it gets to that point, just walk away. Walk away. I mean, because everybody, you know, especially if you're married, it's going to be times you fuss and argue, but it should never get to a point where you just in there in the fisticuffs. Y'all both doing full Nelsons off the couch. Like, at that point, like, seriously, both of y'all done lost your damn mind. Both of y'all need to both go to jail and see how that works out. That's what I wish police would start doing.
Right. I mean, well, in domestic violence situations, I thought that's what they do. I thought the law changed that both parties go to jail. I know that's right. That is how it is here in Florida.
They do it in some states, but not in every state. But I think a part of the bigger problem with these double standards is the refusal to look at the entire picture. Like, you know, we talk about this with everything. People want to address this side of the equation, but not want to address the other side of the equation, which causes those double standards to exist in the first place. You know, so it's not like we're teaching our kids to deal with, especially in terms of gender-related issues. We either teach our kids to respect women, or we teach our kids to devalue women. But we never teach our kids to respect both men and women. You see what I'm saying? Like, so in terms
right.
of rape, we either teach our kids in terms of rape, we either teach our children that a woman should dress this way, she should behave this way, and she should not go in these places for fear to prevent her from being raped, or we teach our boys that a woman's body is her prerogative. You don't have access to it. She's not property for your pleasure, blah, blah, blah. But we seem to miss out on the cultural element that says you got to teach your kids both. The same way you're teaching your boys to respect the girl's body and her rights and her whatever, you got to teach the girls to understand things from a male perspective. And that's incorporating the respect and the safety element into the discussion. Now, I understand when I say that, people might hear it and misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not going to bother elaborating right now. I will maybe later. But at this point, I'm simply saying we never address the totality of the situation. We always pick one side, our favorite side of the coin,
mm-hmm.
like with racism, white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
We always focus on a common theme now in the national media is to focus on what white people are doing and what they can do to make racism better, instead of black people focusing on what we can do to make things better for ourselves. So you constantly have this, and then when you do have people focusing on that, it's normally white supremacists who are completely ignoring what white people are doing. So you don't have a real dialogue that focuses on the problems that we're having with society, the social issues, social responsibility, as well as the problems we're having with personal responsibility and the things we can do for ourselves.
Mm. Hey, man. I always say this, people ain't real serious about stopping violence. People just be talking. They not serious because, like you say, they pick their favorite aspect and only stick to that and never look at the whole and how everything affects the whole. Just think about it, like, feminists are always talking about violence against women, but when it comes to violence, like homosexual guys, I see a lot of homosexual guys swinging on females and like getting away with it, and then don't nobody care about it. Like the video of the young black girl getting beat up by the gay white dude. It's like that's comedy to some people. No, that's not an issue. But the right, black dude, but the big football player black dude hitting the white girl in the face, that's an issue. But the gay white guy hitting the black girl, beating her down, stomping her in the head, ain't no issue.
And my take, like, here's the thing. You could be whatever you want to be in life. I could care less. Do whatever makes you happy. But if you're a male and you're a homosexual male, you decide to carry yourself in whatever way you want to, that's your right. But please understand this, you're still a male at the end of the day. And that doesn't give you the right to go around fighting females. Like, that just, you're not, I know I might catch hell for this, but I'm not disrespecting the community or whatnot, but you still got to have that same level of respect for females, period. So, because I've seen that where, you know, a gentleman, he's gay and whatnot, and he feel like he could pop off and hit a female. No, you're still a man over here trying to hit a female. That's not cool. So that right there, that little piece, that needs to change as well. I never like that, because at the end of the day, again, live your life however you want to. I'm not judging you. Do whatever the hell makes you happy. Trust me. But that still doesn't give you the right to act like you're a female and you're hitting another female. No, you're a man hitting a female, and that's just not cool either.
Well, you know, with that, we got to talk. Like, we probably need to have a show on genetics, because a lot of people don't understand that concept. I understand you feel like a man, like a woman, but the fact is, genetically, you're a man. And there is no surgery you can take to change your genetics. You're still going to have, even if you get on hormone treatments, you're still going to be, to an extent, naturally stronger than a natural born woman. Because genetically you're a man. So, and that's not, if anybody takes offense to what you just said, it's because they don't understand genetics. The man didn't, you know, like Jamie didn't say, you can't be a woman. Jamie didn't say any of that. All he said was, you were born a man, so you still have masculine advantages over females.
Yeah, like, you still punch, I mean, you do whatever, but you still have the strength of a man. Like you still have that strength. And
right.
I don't know, I've seen that, like, this dude, it was a cashier, and he was just, bitch this and bitch, and bitch. And I'm just like, yo, man, like, you still got a mama, dog. Like, this is still an old, elderly woman, and you going off on her, like, you know, I hated that. Like, I don't know. Live your life however you want to, but there's still rules to this. There's still a level of respect you need to maintain as a man. I'll say that.
Man, look, keep your damn hands to yourself. I don't care what you think you is.
Everybody.
Like, no, I mean, because people got life fucked up, man. You don't enjoy people hitting you, but you think it's cool for you to put your hands on somebody because you have an emotion, because you're feeling some type of way. That is straight bullshit, man, and we need to stop letting people get away with that bull, man. I mean, you can't just go around putting your hands on people because you feel some type of way about a certain situation. I mean, if you're going to say that as a grown man is not a man because he couldn't control his emotions, same thing. If you're a grown woman, you're not a real woman if you can't keep your hands to yourself. The only way we really going to stop the violence that's going on, because you can't just tell men, hey, men, don't be violent towards women, but don't teach women not to be violent towards men. You'll never stop violence. You'll never stop it. Because like we've already articulated earlier, some people, more than people like to think, a lot of people hit back. And when they hit back, they don't stop hitting back. And they hit back harder than your ass hit. So, I wish everybody controlled their emotions better, controlled themselves better, handled violence better. But I mean, this is a violent world, and violent, you got people with violence problems trying to teach other people not to be violent. That ain't gonna happen.
Go ahead, Pat.
No, I was just gonna say, I'll be honest and say, like, when I was a teenager, I had a record for slapping a girl. went to juvie, had got shackled to court and all of that. You know, so I understand youthful whatever. You know, she injured me. I responded without thinking. Bow. Next thing I know, the ambulance is there. I was like 16 years old. Ambulance there. I'm getting thrown in the back of a police car. Everybody talking to me all crazy. And nobody's caring, you know, that I got a stream of blood down my arm, you know, from her. So, going back hindsight, I recognized that, okay, you shouldn't have put your hands on her. But at the same time, we don't know how many other people out there are running into situations where a female felt empowered to do some shit, and a male responded. And now that male is looking at real issues. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's not to justify what's going on, but if we really talking about fixing violence, like Joe said, we got to address all issues of the coin. That means talking about all the aspects. That means understanding everybody's perspective. That means correcting the behaviors that lead to violence for everybody. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jay.
No, I mean, but that's what it is. I mean, like the situation you're talking about. Like, they didn't even try to, like, you said ambulance showed up, right?
Yeah, because she got off the bus and fainted. I slapped her pretty hard.
But, alright, let me try to say this without sounding like a dick. Well, because,
I don't think you can do it, Joe.
You said blood was streaming down your arm. She injured you, right?
Yeah.
So what type of response do people expect? Like, what type of real response should I give? Like, am I not, because I'm a man, if I'm being attacked by a female, I should not defend myself?
Well, here's the deal. Again, we've said this before. That's a female. It don't matter what she do. You don't put
right.
your hands on a female.
Right. And goddamn women, y'all listen. That's a man. You don't put your damn hands on a man. Men, listen. You don't put your damn hands on a female. It got to be drawn down the line. It got to be drawn down the line like that, or nothing is going to change. I mean, like, I will... Cause I would like if I if daughter or sister something and she starts some stuff. Matter of fact, I was telling a story the other day and I remember I had an incident. I ain't getting no real trouble from it, but I was outside playing and this young white girl, she was just hitting on me and like I literally let the girl hit me for like 5 minutes, cause I in my mind I'm trying to hold myself back from turning around and popping her. But I literally let the girl hit on me for like 5 minutes until I couldn't take it no more. Then I dropped her. And then all of a sudden I'm in trouble. You know, and I'm like, 11 at this time, 11, 12 at this time, things like when it's happening. But it's like nobody's addressing the issue of women hitting men. And how much do you expect somebody to take? Like the video where the woman was just beating the dude down in the bathroom, like, that's not acceptable. Like, no parent wants to sit there and watch their son just be beat down like that. Nobody wants to see anybody in the corner just being beat down like that by a male or female. That's unacceptable behavior. But that video is comedy relief. That's comedy. But the video of the Oklahoma player, that's a tragedy. How the hell does that happen?
It's crazy, man. I've seen a lot of stuff when it comes to domestic violence, and even my story was actually kind of hilarious. The girl I dated way back in the day, she got drunk, bust my window out, and started throwing rocks at me. And the only reason people called the cops is because rocks were hitting their car. So the cops come, I'm like, man, I'm about to go to jail. This girl, but fortunately, the cop was like, hey, do you want me to take her to jail? He was like, yo, the complaint's on her. She's throwing rocks at you. She's done this. We'll take her to jail. And that's the first time I've ever been in a situation where they don't automatically assume that, hey, I was doing something wrong, this, that, and the other, or a group of males weren't doing something wrong. And I just wanted to get the hell up out of there, you know, she was blocking my car and all that kind of nonsense. But if I know if that was me, you know, and I was throwing rocks and doing this, that, and the other, they wouldn't even ask me a question. They would have put my ass dead in the back of that police car. So that's a double standard that I didn't even realize. Is they came and asked me, did I want her arrested, versus them just doing their damn job and arresting her. But, you know, I just wanted to get the hell out of there, so I let that shit fall.
But on the other side, like black, we got to start teaching especially our black boys something different. And we definitely got to teach our black girls something different about their mouth. And after they get past, because once they get past the mouth, they hitting you. But verbal abuse ain't cool either.
Yeah, that ain't it, yeah.
So, you know, we definitely got problems with abuse in our community on all levels. But certain ones we want to address because we feel like certain ones are more important than others. But we definitely got to teach our black boys, first of all, I mean, I guess when females or when girls or women or whatever level that you're on, that you're dealing with your female counterpart, it has to be a different way that we teach our young men to de-escalate these situations or get away from the situation. I guess run. Like, if a girl looks like she want to fight you, just run away or something. But if she chase you, then what you do?
Until you pass out.
I mean, cause like I'm sure y'all like one video on Facebook where the young girl was just going off, pushing the little dude, hitting the little dude. And he like, man, I ain't trying to do nothing to you. And finally, I guess she punched him in his face, and that set him off. And he slammed her. And after he slammed her, the teacher ran over, broke up the fight. What's wrong with you? And he's sitting there. So you mean to tell me? And I commented that teacher needed to be fired. So you mean to tell me you got this young girl in the middle of class, dog cussing this young man out, slapping him in the face and cussing him, and that's acceptable? Like, the teacher just sitting there watching? But when she gets slammed on the ground, now the teacher wants to jump in. Like, come on, we got to do something different. We got to do something different. But at the same time, if the young man is trying to escape and the person keeps pursuing him, what do you want him to do next? Society, what should he do next?
All in all, man, we, like you said, a lot of this just comes back to education, learning how to deal with your emotions, learning how to deal with people that you have in conflict with. I mean, because life is going to be full of conflict, and if you don't know how to deal with those emotions, you're going to result to violence. Because that's the last thing, like, all right, I don't know how to consume my emotions, I just want to punch something. That's like the thing to go to. So people got to understand how to control those emotions, and that's the hardest part. I ain't going to lie. It's hard not just wanting to punch everybody in the face, especially stupid people. You really want to punch stupid people hard. But you got to say, you know what, it's not their fault for being dumb or this, that, and the other. But you got to learn how to deal with that emotion and not let somebody else's emotion. Because you know if somebody's too worked up, the next thing you know it's going to escalate the violence. So sometimes if I see something, it's like, you know what, just let me get myself out of here because I don't want it to result to that. So sometimes it's you, and sometimes those people that are in those situations, you just got to just learn how to deal with your damn emotions. People are way too emotional these days.
Right.
I don't know what it is. People need to start drinking Crown more often. Do something. Stop being so emotional. It's temporary emotions. You ain't going to be mad all. If you're mad all day about some shit, that's your fault. But temporary emotions shouldn't result in violence. Go sit down, smoke a cigarette, take a shot of Crown, drink some wine, and you'll probably forget about that shit if you let it. But I don't know. That's just how I cope with my issues. I want to kick my dog right now, but I'm going to go fix me a glass of wine and read a book. I hate that dog. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Hey, yeah, I love my dog. I don't want to get
you're going to have PETA after you.
Yeah. Well, he said
PETA, the people from PETA gonna jump over all the human rights violations that's been happening, all the humans being murdered, and come over and get you about your dog.
Oh man, I done said too much on this show tonight. I'm about to get arrested.
No, you ain't, because I'm gonna say it right with you. Say it right, because they nobody better not say nothing to you about no dog when they sitting there watching human beings being slaughtered. Get out of here with that mess.
Oh, goodness.
That's you can't funny. Sit around and watch human beings get slaughtered and have a problem with other animals getting slaughtered, and you're a damn human.
Nah, dogs. Hey, dog lives matter, Joe. What the hell, bro?
Now, what type of dog? What type? Not pit bulls. Not pit bulls.
So not semantics. All dogs matter now, huh?
Because well, you know, pit bull. That's like the Negro or the black. I mean, that's the black people of the dogs, the Negroes. So like pit bulls got that reputation, that horrible reputation. So, you know. They lives don't matter, but like Chihuahuas, they lives matter. The pugs and all the mother dogs, they lives matter, but not the pit bull.
Oh man, how do we start talking about? I'm sorry for bringing my dog up.
That's all good. And the dog that being your grandma's backyard, his life don't matter.
Oh god. So double standards, man. Overall, we ain't finished, but just keep your goddamn hands to yourself.
Nah, for real, though, like, I mean, there are glaring double standards in the community that need to be fixed, and until we fix these glaring double standards, we're not seriously going to be able to deal with our violence problem like we're supposed to deal with the violence problem. How do you end violence only focusing on one population of people who are violent? I mean, like, we don't even, in the black community specifically, we don't even address the pedophile in the family.
No.
Like you got so many stories of like family members who know their kids being raped, know their kids being beat up, all these things. Ain't nobody doing nothing about it because they don't want their thing to be messed up.
You know, it's that right there that hits on something deep with probably a lot of people who's got that one family member that's kind of doing something. You got the one. Dope fiend uncle or something like that, or the one that's always stealing from grandma, but nobody really turns them in and this, that, and other to get the guy help. They just let him keep stealing until it gets his head busted open. So it's all kind of that right there. That's a deep issue, Joe. I don't think we want to dive into that right now.
I mean, we ain't gonna get all the way into it today, but I mean, it's a part of what we're talking about. I mean, when we're talking about double standards, I mean, I want to be clear. I mean. We know how we feel about specific things because we're pointing out specific ones. But across the board, I mean, these double standards, they're an issue. But the people in my community, the people who look like me, are affected the most by the double standards. The people who look like me are the ones who are on the losing end of the double standards. Like you can't be out there talking about we stopping violence against women, but when violence happens to black women, y'all asses is silent.
That's true too. Hey man.
So I mean, you know, like the only time they are not silent in issues with black women is the black woman is notable or she's in a situation with somebody who's notable. If Rihanna was a regular female and like she if that happened and like, let's say it might have been reported on some kind of local news station or whatever. Even if it caught some wind of it, would feminists really have come out if Rihanna wasn't famous?
Probably not.
Because they ain't come out for Sandra Bland.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, that's yeah.
I mean, think about the countless number of black women who've been abused and killed and raped and all these things. Like, you got the video of the old black woman getting beat up by the cop. He's throwing haymakers on her face. What are the feminists on that?
And, like, you're stupid. Just that video of the resource cop slamming a little black girl on the ground.
Yeah, what are the feminists on that?
Like, he slammed the hell out. And she got up clearly, like, just kind of out of it.
She was.
That kind of got swept under the table. Where are the feminists at?
But, oh, I know where they at. They still trying to jump on Nate Parker.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I brought up Nate Parker because, you know, when we're talking about the feminists, you know, the feminists jumped down his throat. And like, that actually affected the outcome of the movie. Like, even black women jumped on him. Like, yeah, we shouldn't go see the movie. We shouldn't learn the legacy of Nat Turner because Nate Parker was, they said he was not innocent. And they try. It's like they're like the girl we talked about a couple of weeks ago. The girl on the Breakfast Club was trying to make the man apologize for something he found not guilty for. Like, how the hell are you gonna try to make somebody be an advocate for something you think they should be an advocate for, just because you feel some kind of way about it? And they're talking about he didn't handle the situation correctly. Well, how should this situation be handled? The man is innocent, but. Let the shoe be on the other foot. Let this be a white man who's wealthy. Where the feminists at? How come those girls on the Breakfast Club ain't saying nothing about these other incidents that these white men are doing to black women? Anybody talking about that though? Double standard like a motherfucker. If you're a black male, you're gonna come on the wrong end of the double standard. If you're a black female, you're gonna come on the wrong end of the double standard. We as black people got to do something different to be able to protect ourselves.
I'll agree to that. Definitely agree to that. Double standards, man. Double standards. Like, if I walk out, you know, the grocery store with a whole watermelon, it's like, y'all, look at him. They sure love watermelon. You know what I'm saying? White dude do it. They think he's just going to a picnic. You know? Double standards exist. You know, that's why I'm respectful with my watermelon. I get the little chopped up ones in the bowl. You ain't finna call me out in the middle of Kroger.
Not me.
You probably be double fisting them over your shoulders, don't you? Get
on my way to grab my chicken. Okay.
With some grape soda.
There you go. What? Got to be that Faygo. You know, black folk like that Faygo.
That Winn-Dixie check, peach soda, baby.
I, Jamie, you two are parents. I'm not a parent. So as parents, what do you guys think that could be done differently, could be taught differently to the next generation to help curve these double standards or help them fare better in a society where we have these double standards?
I'll go first. My main, like, I got two little girls. And it's one, like, my biggest thing when it came to disciplining them, I never wanted them to feel like a man hitting them should be normal. Even though I'm their father and I discipline them, I never wanted to feel like me just going with a belt to them. I never wanted them to have that type of – I don't even want them to know what that's like. Only discipline they get, I pop my daughter's hand, and she make it seem like I just broke her whole spinal cord in half, and I could just do like a little swift pop, and she's on the ground like she's about to die. But I never want her I never wanted to get comfortable with a man hitting her, even if it is her father and I'm supposed to discipline her. I find other ways to do that. So that's one thing I wanted to always instill in my girls. It's not okay for any man to put his hands on you, and it's not okay even when you get angry for you to act out and put your hands on somebody else. So that's just something, a lot of that is just something that starts at the home with me. So that's what I do with my girls to help, you know, eventually as they get older, I'm going to incorporate other lessons just as they're little. I don't want my daughter, you know, she never got hit with a belt and she's 4 and she probably need to get hit with a damn race car track some days. But I find other ways to discipline her versus just, you know, spanking on her or something like that. So it requires a little more effort. It's a little more frustrating, but I think in the long run, I think it'll pay off a lot more for her as she grows up and goes through life. That's what I do. But go ahead, Pat.
I mean, with my, like, I got 3 boys, so I do a lot of what I advocate for in the calls. Like, I just try to talk to them to get them to understand the totality of the situation, every situation that they might find themselves in, you know. So, you know, it's not only do I expect you to do better, but, you know, other people have those same expectations that, and you need to have that expectation that they do better as well, so that, you know, when you grow up and you have children of your own, you know, that the message is kind of passed down. I think that's how we, that's the best way we have for changing culture at this current moment, is, you know, teaching our kids to see the entire picture so that when they grow up and have kids, they can teach those kids to see the entire picture. And hell, maybe in, you know, 5 or 10 generations, we'll have a world that's mature enough to solve some of these problems that we seem stupid as fuck for not being able to get a handle on. But I just, like, for me, everything is about understanding. So I just try to get them to understand the entirety of what's going on.
And just one more thing to that. I think a lot of these kids, I know, yeah, we grew up. I got my ass whooped when I was growing up. And I think a lot of people, especially as parents, sometimes we're fearful of going out and doing something different. We want to, you know, well, work for me, it's going to work for my kids, and that's how that culture doesn't change, because we keep trying to do the things our parents did, when that's just not effective in this current stage and where we are as a society. So as you're a parent, you just got to, you know, step outside of that box. My mom never, you know, I did something, it wasn't that, hey, son, let's sit down and talk, you know, just that and all the pop your hand. No, I got something thrown at me, this, that, and the other, X, Y, and Z. But I went out and said, you know what, probably back then I probably should have called the people on her ass, because she beat the hell out of me a few different times. I never forgot about those ass whoopings, Angie, if you listen to this, which she doesn't, and I'm glad. But I wanted to do something different, and there's nothing wrong with that. So as parents, we got to figure out there's other ways we can discipline our children versus, you know, being, you know, some kids, I ain't going to say don't spank your kids, do whatever the hell you want with your kids, but don't let that be the only source of discipline, is you whooping their ass. And, you know, because when I was little, it's like, yo, I take this whooping, it's going to hurt for maybe 4 or 5 minutes, but I'm right back outside playing, what up? It wasn't until, you know, my mom started taking stuff away from me, this, that, and other. I'm like, yeah, this is fucked up. Can I just get a whooping? That's why
I know,
I
right?
It.
Yeah. So, like, don't say I can't go outside. What you mean?
Yeah. I take that whooping. Go ahead. Do what you do. But as parents, if we're going to change this culture, it starts with us stepping out on a limb and changing the way we're bringing up our kids and not being afraid to not do what our parents did. Break those traditions. Do something different. Read a damn book. Figure out some new methods and let it work for you. Like, when I talk to my daughter, I get down on one knee, so we're eye level, and she's looking me dead in the face. We're looking eye to eye. It builds her confidence up, and she knows I'm not just sitting here yelling at her just for no reason. I'm looking down on her or anything like that. No, I'm going to get on your level. We're going to talk. I might pop your hand and put you in the corner or take something away from you for a little while, but I'm going to figure something out more than just yelling at her and just hitting her and sending her to a room. I think over time that'll kind of degrade her self-esteem and whatnot. So just don't be afraid to step out that box of what our parents did to us and do something different. That's all I'm saying.
And I'm going to follow that up by saying a lot of y'all aren't doing what your parents did. Because I think about, like, I got whooped a lot, you know, a whole lot. Matter of fact, I was the only boy. I got whooped every day just to make sure I wasn't gay. So at the same time, right, our parents were disciplining us, but they were still loving us. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were still, like, there was still something else there. Now, if all you remember is the ass beatings, that's on you, but we had a level of respect for our parents because they had a level of respect for us. We loved our parents because they loved us. I see a lot of y'all out here nowadays with kids. Y'all don't talk to your kids. Y'all don't communicate. You don't show them you love them. You buy them shit and you beat them. That's it. Like, so you're missing out on all of the other things that your parents did for you. Like, you don't respect your kids. You don't show them love. You don't have a firm but gentle hand at the same time. You just, like, you buy them shit and you beat them. That's it. So what are they learning? They learning give me shit and pain. So now that, you know, they... You give me shit, I'm going to give you... all right, that's all another subject. But still, a lot of y'all ain't even accurately duplicating your parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree to that. I will agree to that. Especially the bond part. I'm not calling out single mothers or anything like that, but I know I work with a few young men that come from single mother households, and, you know, these kids, like, for a lot of them, they know their mother loves them, but, you know, mom's got issues. I had one young man, he thought his mom hated him. Mom was taking, you know, the situation. I'm going too deep on some other shit, but she was taking the situation from the father and, you know, passing that on to the son and kind of, you know, just rough on him. You know, he couldn't do nothing right. You're going to be like your daddy, this, that, and the other. And that, to me, like, that kid's going to grow up emotionally scarred. And if he's in a situation where, you know, instead of dealing with his emotions and he result to violence, it's because the culture he was brought up in. Like, when mom got mad at dad, she just beat my ass. So if I get mad at my girl, I can, you know, you see how that can kind of perpetuate, you know, into some slippery slope type shit. So a lot of it is we really do as parents. We are in charge of changing that culture as far as those double standards and teaching our little boys and girls. It's not all right. Put your goddamn hands in your pocket. Don't touch nobody. Now, if somebody touches you, then, yes, defend yourself, but don't you just go around hitting somebody because you can't control your emotions.
Right. Right. We got a ways to go. I mean, we got a ways to go. Nobody's entitled to that space for nobody else. Like, you can't just go around just doing stuff like that. So, we gotta do better. We gotta do better, Black America. We ain't concerned about the rest of America. Black America, we gotta do different. Next week, we're gonna jump into some mental health discussions. We got a gentleman coming on who's gonna give us a, like, we've been wanting to talk about mental health for a while. So he's gonna come on next Tuesday. We're gonna get into it. We're gonna hopefully get to kick off our mental health campaign, just like we want to do it, man. So, you know what I'm saying?
No, that's okay. I'm looking forward to it. I'm crazy as hell anyway, yeah. So I need some help.
But now, you know, mental health is another thing that we don't talk about a lot in the Black community. We physically see people walk around with mental health issues and pass it off. Oh, that man just crazy. That man need help. That woman need help. So, you know, hopefully this will give us, you know, this is a start. This is something we've been wanting to do is, you know, talk more about mental health and get more active in bringing awareness and helping people with mental health with the platform that we have. So next week going to be a good start. So, you know.
Hell yeah. Uh-huh.
Y'all know how we do it. People. Yeah, until next time, I'm Joseph. He's Patrick. He's Jamie. It's the Freedom Train Podcast Series. And if you don't know, now you know. Peace out.